Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I need 1 29-cent stamp.
That's $1.85.
I want $2 worth of gas, please.
$4.20.
How much is your petty candy?
Surprisingly expensive.
What a rip-off. No, good.
This guy is good. This is what I think of your store!
Silly customer! You cannot hurt a Twinkie!
No, you cannot hurt a Twinkie. As the wisdom of Apu tells us, Apu, the convenience store owner on The Simpsons, of course, and you may have heard that clip on the show last week when we looked at the controversy over the Apu character and promotion around the Simpsons movie. But right now, we turn our attention to the object of that clip, the Twinkie. Is Apu right? Can you hurt a Twinkie? Or perhaps more importantly, can a Twinkie hurt you? If anyone can answer that question, it's my next guest, author Steve Ettinger, who decided to hunt down where each and every Twinkie component comes from. The result is his book, Twinkie Deconstructed, My Journey to Discover How the Ingredients in Processed Foods Are Grown, Mined, yes, mined, and Manipulated into What America Eats. Mr. Ettinger, welcome to WNYC.
Glad to be here.
It's the only subtitle I've ever seen that includes parentheses. Mind, parentheses, yes, mind. That's actually in the subtitle in parentheses. And if there's something, listeners, you've always wondered about the construction of Twinkies, our guest can deconstruct them for you at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What inspired you to do this?
I've always been a curious guy. I've done a number of books about food. I co-wrote Beer for Dummies, which required extensive research, of course.
Of course.
And I always answer my children's questions with maximum parental authority. But when my six-year-old daughter asked me, "Daddy, where does polysorbate 60 come from?" because we were reading the ingredient label on the back of an ice cream bar at the beach, I was stumped. And I thought, you know what? I've always wondered about artificial ingredients. Why not treat them the same way we treat beer, wine, cheese, and so forth?
So how many ingredients are actually in a Twinkie?
An astounding 39. 39 ingredients, many of which are made from the most common chemicals made in the world, like sulfuric acid, of course, all the petroleum, and so forth. Yes, there's some flour in there, too.
Tell us about your trip to a factory in New Jersey that, I gather, breaks 7 million eggs a day.
That was probably one of the more astounding places I went, and it was, of course, the closest to home, being right by Newark Airport. They break 7 million eggs a day, for which they need a trailer, a tractor trailer of eggs, which is about 30,000 eggs, more than every hour. They are offloaded with very careful forklift truck drivers, very careful. And the eggs still look like regular eggs. They've got feathers on them and so forth, but only for a short time. They go through some machines that look like they're straight out of Rube Goldberg's imagination, whirring at high speed, three or four layers of eggs captured by little suction cups, which amazingly mimic the action that you take when you crack an egg and pull the shells apart, dropping the egg yolk and the white into a small cup. The white drips down and is spun off, etc.
For the Twinkie.
For the Twinkie, and I might add, for Ben and Jerry's ice cream and Hellman's mayonnaise and all sorts of other products that use eggs, either frozen, separated, liquid, dried, what have you.
By the way, Daddy, where does polysorbate 60 come from?
Oh, I thought you might ask that. Well, there's no polysorbate tree, but one thing does come close, which is the oil palm tree, probably on a plantation in Malaysia or Indonesia, which produces palm oil, which is refined in the States into stearic acid, which is like candle wax. That's mixed with sorbitol, which is a hydrogenated corn syrup. And those two together make a sort of weak emulsifier. But someone discovered shortly after World War II that if you mix them with the highly toxic and explosive ethylene oxide, it turns into a tan goo that is a fantastic replacement for egg yolks.
The first ingredient on the label is flour, which sounds fairly wholesome, and ingredients are still listed in order of the concentration in which they appear, right? So there's more flour than anything else.
Correct, flour, sugar, yeah.
But then you tell us that bleached flour is actually, well, treated with bleach, much like the laundry kind.
Exactly. In fact, to a certain extent, for the same reason. It's treated for two reasons. The first is to turn it white. Flour is naturally slightly yellow, like the grain itself. But it turns white with time as it oxidizes. But letting it sit around for a while isn't, in, you know, really money-making. So people learned quite a while ago to bleach it, to turn it white. But that also sort of weakens the protein in a way that's good for baking cakes and bread and so forth. As you can imagine, unbleached flour is sometimes used to make things that are very a little bit tougher, I guess you'd say.
My guest is Steve Ettinger, author of Twinkie Deconstructed, My Journey to Discover How the Ingredients in Processed Foods Are Grown, Mined, Yes, Mined, and Manipulated into What America Eats. Twinkies are one half sugar, and their third and fourth ingredients are also sweeteners, corn syrup and high fructose corn syrup. What's the difference, and why do you need all three?
Oh, my gosh. There are eight products made from corn in Twinkies, and I might add in almost any other cake or bread. It's very, very common. I'm not entirely sure if dextrose and glucose are separate. I got different reports on that. They're the same item in different forms, so you could consider those things the same. Cornstarch adds a little texture. It thickens the batter a little bit. Modified cornstarch brings it together. Both of them help give a structure to the crumb part of the Twinkie. The dextrins are a sweetener that help it brown when it's baked. There's a little corn flour just in there to help it not stick to things. And, of course, your high fructose corn syrup and corn syrup are in there to make things sweet.
To make things sweet. Well, I always have the suspicion when I'm reading labels that there are multiple sugars listed so that sugar doesn't become the number one ingredient for the label readers among us. So if you break it down into corn syrup and high fructose corn syrup and dextrose and sucrose, then they can each be lower down on the label. Is that too conspiratorial?
I think so. A lot of people would like to see them listed together under sweeteners, period, and in which case it would be the primary ingredient, which is not unusual. Cakes are quite often 50-50 almost, flour and sugar. To make a high-ratio cake, which this is, it's a little more sugar than flour. That keeps it tender, delicate, and, of course, good-tasting.
The leavening ingredients in Twinkies come from rocks. Is this where the mining in the subtitle of your book comes from?
Most of it, yes. It freaked me out. I still can't wrap my mind around it entirely. That chemical leavening, baking powder, the baking powder you have on your shelf at home probably, is made from rocks. And most cakes, most breads, are made from ingredients made from five different kinds of rocks. Baking powder has three. One is the ore that's used to make baking soda. That is separate from baking soda is part of baking powder. Baking soda is bicarb soda, sodium bicarbonate. Sodium carbonate is found in the ground in Green River, Wyoming, in the form of trona, an ore that's dug out of several mines right around Green River. I went into one, went down a mine shaft 1,600 feet, that's deeper than the highest building in the world is tall, got into a Jeep, and drove for half an hour. That's big. They've been mining that way since about 1950, when the mines replaced the chemical process that's used elsewhere in the world. But that's come up. It's processed very simply. It's sort of ground up, heated, mixed with water, and there you go.
Is it bad for you?
No. In fact, I got a kick out of the thinking about these miners. The instead of coal dust, you've got sodium carbonate. Nobody has indigestion there. Everybody's fairly clean. It's not really too dusty. But the plant on the surface, surrounded by the tan desert landscape of southwestern Wyoming, is so interesting because it looks like an alpine village. It's draped with white icicles of sodium carbonate and the like, white stuff everywhere. And this is where they put it into the little yellow boxes that you buy at home.
Here's here's a comment from a listener on our comments page. It says, bleach, never liked them even as a kid, and at 61, never will. They are crap and taste like crap, and if that's cream in the middle, then I'm a blow-up doll. And here's a question from a listener on the phone, Michelle in Manhattan. Michelle, you're on WNYC.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually do eat Twinkies, so I'll put that out there right now. But
Everybody has to confess whether they eat them or not, or whether they like them as kids. It's really a riot.
I haven't eaten one in a long time, but, you know, I did.
We haven't had one of our guilty pleasures call-ins in a while. We'll have to do one soon.
Okay. But I had read about a high school science teacher that took a Twinkie and put it on the eraser holder, which I'm not even sure they still have them anymore in schools, but the rack where the erasers would sit, and it stayed for 18 years. I was wondering if Mr. Ettinger had heard of that. And it never actually decomposed. It eventually sort of turned into like a I guess, like a crumbly brick-like substance and turned to dust, but it never molded, never in any kind of organic way decomposed, 18 years.
That's right. I've heard of it. It's up in Maine, in Blue Hill, Maine. When he retired, he transferred it in a glass case to his replacement. I've got a few kicking around. My wife is a little bit perturbed by that. They dry out, but they don't spoil. That's partly because sugar, I mean, in defense of the Twinkie, it's so much sugar that it's very well preserved. The only real preservative in Twinkies is sorbic acid, mm-hmm. and that keeps it from getting moldy. They dry out, but they don't spoil. That's true.
Michelle, thank you for your call, 212-433-WNYC. You found that, we can't possibly cover all the ingredients in the book and in the Twinkie, but tell us about some of the more obscure elements that you found interesting or that surprised you.
I was really surprised how many things came from China, and this was before the Chinese food ingredient scare, but color, the main ingredients for artificial colors are made in China from petroleum. Several of the vitamins are made exclusively in China, some of them also from petroleum and others are fermented. Some of the flavors are made also from petroleum in China. I mean, that's a different take on Chinese food.
So petroleum and bleach. This is getting yummier by the moment.
It makes you want to reach for an apple, yeah.
And you mentioned China, but you found that the Twinkie is a product made possible by globalization. Its ingredients come from all over the world.
Right. Some of the items come from Europe. Some of the petroleum used in the European ingredients, European-made ingredients, are made with some of the petroleum is coming from, of course, the Middle East or maybe the North Atlantic. You've got stuff from Malaysia, Indonesia. Depending on the product, if you go beyond Twinkies into your common everyday foods with processed foods with artificial ingredients, you've got colors coming from South America, Central America, really Japan, all over the world. We're part of the Twinkie Nexus.
And it must say something about the wages that people get paid to produce those things if the ingredients can come from all over the world and we can buy a package of Twinkies for 75 cents or whatever it is.
Totally. It has a little bit to do also with environmental regulations. As I was researching this, I kept coming up against large chemical companies who were no longer making the ingredients that I had been told they were making as of like a few weeks earlier, a few months earlier, or a year or so earlier. Oh, it all went to China. It all went to India. We're just priced out of the business, and now the things that we made, they thought of themselves as artisans, I think, are commoditized.
So really, some of the larger conclusions that you draw from this study go way beyond Twinkies or junk.
Absolutely. It's sort of the polar opposite of eating local food, locally grown food, eating whole food. It is so dependent on this international network of industry that it is mind-blowing. And, of course, it is also not necessarily advantageous, except for one thing. If you want it and you can pay for it, then you can get it.
By the way, here's another comment from a listener on our website that asks, what is mechanically separated chicken? I see it listed as an ingredient in my Slim Jim along with beef hearts. So maybe there's the inspiration for your next book.
There you go.
Slim Jim Deconstructed. Are you ready for that?
Oh, my gosh.
By the way, the caller, Michelle, before reminded me that President Clinton included a Twinkie in the Millennium Time Capsule.
Absolutely. It is the archetypal American food, the snack food. It's beloved, totally beloved. And as I said, as I've done research on this and the resultant publicity, people tend to confess over and over again, we have a relationship with Twinkies that is just astounding.
Will it still be good when the time capsule is opened hundreds of years from now?
Well, let's make a date to be there and check it out.
You're on. Harold in Fairlawn, we have 15 seconds for you.
Yeah, hi. What's the proportion of animal foods or animal products in modern foods compared to the artificial stuff?
Well, I couldn't answer that. The artificial ingredients I dealt with were non-animal products entirely. As I said, the most astounding thing was that so many were based on petroleum. But most of the chemicals are not drawn from animals. In fact, I thought a lot of these products would be processed from vegetables, and they're not.
Hydrogenated oil in the Twinkies. Unhealthy, but it's not the same as partially hydrogenated oils, which are trans fats, correct?
That's correct. They eliminated the trans fats from the Twinkie recipe while I was working on the book because last year the rule came into play that they had to list trans fats. So all the engineers were scrambling to find ways to make something to substitute for the partially hydrogenated oil, which is nothing unlike Crisco.
Remember the Twinkie defense, that's what I say. And my guest, Steve Ettinger, who has written Twinkie Deconstructed, My Journey to Discover How the Ingredients in Processed Foods Are Grown, Mined, Yes, Mined, and Manipulated into What America Eats, published by
Hudson Street Press, Division of Penguin.
Thanks a lot.